Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Almas podcast. My name is Gabrielle Love. I am your host. I hope you have been enjoying the past episodes. We've got another one today. This is actually our second attempt since we ran into some audio issues with the last one. But like I said to our guest, this conversation, I am sure, is the one that was meant to happen and the one that was meant to be shared with you all. So without further ado, Falek, welcome to the Almas podcast. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm Falek Sheikh, a best-selling author now of my book, The Soulmate Mantra. I am a holistic intuitive energy healer and I'm a relationship coach.
Beautiful. That's three key things.
Yes.
That's amazing. I have so much to ask you, but first, we had a conversation probably maybe I want to say 2 months ago, and we lost that audio. Well, I say lost, but it just didn't work out. But since then, tell me, how have you been? What's been going on in your life?
Yes, I had been wonderful. Actually, when we had our podcast, I didn't have my paperback book in my hand. It was already going through some editing process and stuff like that. But today, now I have my paperback back. It's available and it's in my hand. So this feels really awesome because I had been seeing the ebook. But when it comes to in your physical reality as a book in your hand, that feels so amazing. It's like one of my dreams coming in reality, turning to reality.
That's beautiful. Congratulations. So how does it feel holding it in your hands?
Oh, it feels amazing. Like, you know, it was so outstanding the way it came into my hands. My friend Kelte, who did the cover for this book, the wonderful art that she created, I was about to meet her and the book was already in post and was about to reach my home, but suddenly something in me asked me to go and see her first. So she's in London City. And so I just went to London City and to see her. And guess what? She came with the physical book, like, you know, this paperback in her hands. And it was like she just had received 30 minutes before she met me. And wow, this is how we both, like, you know, it is her first art that is on a book cover and that is a bestseller and it is my first book itself. So for both of us, it has been quite a journey and we That's amazing. Both together to hold the book in our hands. So nothing exciting more than this.
That's absolutely, that's such a beautiful thing. I feel an urge to clap because it's so exciting.
Yeah.
This is a really good moment. It's a good moment.
It is.
It's a lovely moment. Probably some people know about the book, but I'm sure the majority of the listeners do not know about the book. It's called The Soulmate Mantra. Tell us all about it. Maybe start with what compelled you to write this book. What's the story? And then, you know, tell us whatever you want to say about the book.
So the name of the book is The Soulmate Mantra, Woman's Guide to Finding Love. So this book came to me as my journey of moving through relationships after relationships and looking out for love instead of finding within, and how I healed my wounds, my traumas, my limiting beliefs and my patterns, and then helped me manifest my soulmate in my life. I'm married to my soulmate, I can say, my partner, my husband now, and I'm here with my two kids, having a beautiful family. But I have seen that many women like me had been falling from one relationship into another and without being able to find that commitment, that intimacy and that love that fulfills them as a whole. So my attempt, and this book has been written from a perspective of a woman. Definitely, I would shout out to all the men out there to go out and read it as well, because then you would really know what a woman is looking for, right?
Yeah.
But definitely, this is from the perspective of a woman where I have shared my journey, my personal journey, I can say, my deep traumas, my wounds, my relationship with my family and everything out there, so that each one of get inspired to dive deep within themselves, to help themselves, to heal themselves, to understand their patterns and wounds, to work through it so that they are able to manifest the love that they deeply desire.
That's beautiful. I'm curious about the kinds of patterns that came up for you maybe in the beginning or in other relationships. And more specifically, I'm curious about your perspective on the way in which our relationship with our parents or our very first sort of guardians as children impacts our relationships in romance.
Yeah. So for me, I would say, like, you know, me as a teenager, I was very desperate to be in love, like, you know. And so out of that desperation, and of course, with lack of clarity, plus the desperation is a very risky combination, I can say, because then you are ready to fall into a relationship. I would say fall into a relationship because you literally, like, you know, are falling. So you fall into the relationship without thinking, because of the desperation, you do not know what do you desire in a relationship. So you are okay with the ill treatment, the poor treatment by a partner, or even if it is an abusive one, you consciously choose not to see the red flags in the relationship. You feel that, okay, this is the relation, or without it, there would be no one in my life. Something is better than nothing in a way. So out of that desperation, you just want to be in a relationship. This is what I usually call it as a love addiction, where there is a constant desire to be in love or being in a relationship. And so out of that desperation, you tend to get trapped into abusive relationships or relationships that is not for your highest good, right? And I would say definitely the patterns that you have with your parents, because as a child, most of your beliefs, most of your patterns come from your parents. This is what you see in your parents. For me, I would say I had a very disturbed relationship with my father initially, as I was a very rebellious teenager. And my father was a very conservative, traditional man who wanted his daughter to get married to a boy. Like, you know, me being from an Asian background, from an Indian Muslim family, my father wanted me to, like, you know, find a guy for me and where I get settled right early in my 20s, and that would free him of the responsibility of my marriage. And whereas I wanted someone to, like, you know, a relationship out of love and nothing else. And of course, my father, like, you know, me being someone with a broader body structure, he always told me that, oh, you need to slim down or you wouldn't find any guy who would marry you. And that programming itself, that you would find no one to marry you, like, you know, that caused more desperation in me and lack of self-worth. I think self-worth plays a huge, huge role in your relationships, because if you are coming out of a place of a low self-worth, you do not feel worthy of all. You do not feel worthy of the most authentic, deep, intimate relationship. You feel, okay, whatever is available is for me because I do not deserve better, or I do not deserve to be loved as I am. Right. So that's why your relationship with your parents, because your programs and your beliefs around love and relationship would be exact reflection of what your parents had or what your parents portrayed in front of you. So these are the, like, you know, depatterning your relationship with your parents is one of the most important aspects if you want to heal your patterns in your relationship, because ultimately it gets reflected in the relationship. Let me give you an example of a client, like, you know, when she when she came to me and she said that she had not been able to find men who can be trusted. And when we worked through it and we came to a realization where her father left her mother at a very young age when she was a kid, and her mother had been constantly resentful towards her husband for leaving them. And that programming that men is never to be trusted because they leave, right? That program was installed, or, like, you know, became a belief for this person. So every time she would go out there, she would find or attract men who would leave her. She couldn't trust them enough. It always triggered that feeling of abandonment from men, and that was reflected in her love relationships. So this is how, like, you know, the patterns that you have with your parents, with your caretakers or guardians, is ultimately reflected in your love relationships, in relationship with your partners. So it is the one of the most important aspect of life to be worked on, depatterning your wounds or traumas that you have with your parents.
Yeah. I now have two questions, but let's start with one before I forget. you just used an example. I'm thinking in terms of what we attract based on those patterns, based on the wounding, is that attraction something that happens on an energetic level, or is it sort of reflected in our behaviors? And I guess I'm asking for your perspective on this. When you start to do this kind of work of depatterning and changing things internally, does that then change what we attract? And are we, for the people who are finding themselves constantly in relationships that are unhealthy or not what they're looking for, is that because, you know, they're on the inside internally, they're still attracting that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, you know, it is not, we do not attract what we desire, but we attract what we are. Like, you know, it is like what vibrational frequency you would be carrying, you would be attracting a similar vibrational frequency in your life. So if we understand with the perspective of quantum physics that everything is energy, and we, as we are built up of body, physical body, but there also there is energetic vibrations. We can see it in Kielian's photography, like, you know, the electromagnetic field that is around us. So we do have a vibrational frequency. We constantly emit a vibrational frequency. So if we are holding to negative patterns and emotions like guilt, anger, resentment, fear, then this are keeping us into a lower vibrational frequency. And depending on that lower vibrational frequency, we would attract all the things of a similar frequency. So if I'm constantly fearing that, oh, my relationship would fail, there is a higher possibility that my relationship would actually fail, because I'm giving out a vibration frequency of failed relationships in the universe. So that would bring in more failed relationships in my life, right? So this is, and as I said, like, you know, we do not attract what we desire. We attract what we are. So if you want to attract love, you need to have or be into the vibrational frequency of love to attract love in your life. So it is not about what we want outside, but it is what we are in the inside would be brought to us.
Totally. So this actually ties in with my next question, which was going to be around self-worth. If we think of self-worth, let's just paint a picture. Let's say I have low self-worth. And so I keep attracting people that reflect that. Now I start to do work and things start to change. How do you know when the inside has changed? Like, how do you measure that? I guess that's really what I'm asking. How do you know if the changes have happened on that frequency or on an energetic level?
I definitely feel that, like, you know, when we talk about self-worth, is self-worth and self-love are, like, you know, huge, huge challenges, I would say, that we have brought as humans, that each and every person has that at some level, like, you know, challenges in self-love and self-worth. And it is like, you know, you work on it and you feel better, but that comes again. So it is not that once you heal self-worth or you do a session on self-love or self-worth and you are good to go. But there are possibilities that it might come again, but it might come again to a point, like, you know, I always say that healing happens in spirals. So you work on one spiral and then it might come again as a second spiral, but it would definitely take you towards, like, you know, the contrast with which it would be coming would be different, and it would be in lesser intensity that it was before. Like, you know, the type of low self-worth you experienced before, it might not be as bad as that, but definitely the level of worth would improve. But that doesn't mean that, like, you know, suddenly you woke up in the morning and you start feeling worthy and there is no worthlessness at all. Like, you know, it might come up in some aspect or one another aspect, but definitely the judgment of the healing can be taken from the situations that you attract in your life, from the people that you attract in your life, from the people, how they treat you or how you allow them to treat you, is how you can define, like, you know, that, okay, your self-worth is healing. You are healing in your self-love. Suppose if someone is treating me poorly, And if I allow that treatment to happen, like, you know, I allow that person to treat me poorly, then there is definitely showing that I am not healed in my self-worth and self-love. If I love myself deeply and completely and I know my worth, I would definitely have boundaries with that person that would not allow the person to treat me in a certain way. Or I would attract in my life relationships that show me that I'm worthy, that would reflect respect or honor, or that would reflect love, right? Those relationships, people that would treat me with respect, honor, and love in a way that would show or reflect that I have healed.
Awesome. That definitely answered the question. I definitely agree. That's great. So this book, Soulmate Mantra, let's go back for a second. So the other thing you had said was holistic intuitive energy.
Healing, yeah.
Healing, mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us more about that. And then how does that tie into the Soulmate Mantra?
Yeah. So the things that I have put into the Soulmate Mantra, I have written again and again that it is very necessary that you apply, like, you know, I have also put in certain introspective questions that would help them reflect about understanding their patterns in a relationship. And it is kind of a life workbook, like, you know, you can do it, you can journey, you can process it, sit with it. It's that kind of a book. So definitely the unhealthy patterns. So there are various healing modalities that I use, energy healing modalities that I use to heal traumas, woundings, to heal the mother wound, the father wound, like, you know, that you have with your parents. Mm-hmm. So all these healing, different healing modalities like theta healing. I'm a teacher of theta healing. I practice theta healing. And recently I learned a new healing modality is known as the Tao hands healing. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, inner child work or transgenerational healing, ancestral healing, because many patterns are not just coming from your parents, but it is there in your ancestral lineage and it needs to be healed from that as well. So the family constellations and transgenerational healing is one of the important work that is required to be done in order to heal those patterns. And also, like, you know, when I'm working with a client, it is also the intuitionally guided things that I have come through, like, you know, so I would be seeing things or feeling things and it would guide me towards the direction that needs to be worked on. So usually my sessions are not very structured in a way, okay, I'll work on this today, but whatever intuitively guided message comes in and wherever I feel there is an energy block, I'll tap into this energies and I'll help them release those patterns or traumas or the woundings that would help them heal in that area of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so say you're working with a client in conjunction with the Soulmate Mantra or things specific around that. Mm-hmm. Do you then, for example, have conversations and try to understand the sort of patterns and then you intuitively feel where that block might be in the body?
Yeah, like, you know, of course, there can be also a block in the body. Also, like at times when we see irrespective to the relationship area, at times there might be certain things like simple things that like inability to express their feelings. And that is causing a lack of intimacy in a relationship where they are unable to express what they feel. And that I would perceive a blockage in their throat chakra. Like, you know, I would feel that, okay, while I'm working with them, I would realize that there is some blockage in the throat chakra. And suddenly, like, you know, as I ask them questions and this, and then we come to a point, oh, I have a problem in expression. So, like, you know, whatever intuition and guidance I have, I would help them also. I would not jump onto that conclusion, but I would wait till they themselves see and look and feel into themselves of what is their challenges that they are facing.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. We're going to backtrack a bit more. So we've got best-selling author, we've got holistic intuitive energy healing, and then there was one more thing that you had mentioned. There were three things that you had mentioned.
Yeah, relationship coach.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, feel free to tell us more about that. But before you do that, I just want to say all three of these things fit in very well together.
Yeah, thank you.
You're essentially hitting different aspects of various things. And that's really wonderful. I'm curious to hear about how that unfolded for you in your life. Like, how did you end up being who you are today? Mm-hmm. But before we do that, yeah, let's hear about the relationship coach part.
Yeah, like, you know, I feel that my journey have been, my maximum learnings and experiences and healings have happened through relationships, right, in my life. So I feel relationship is one of the most important areas in our life. And it is like, once that is sorted, I feel one of the most half of your life is sorted once your relationship area is sorted, because there is, that helps, like, you know, that relationship reflects so many, they act as mirror and they reflect so many things about us. And that is a wonderful opportunity for us to work on ourselves in our healing journey and everything, I feel. So I feel that, you know, when I talk especially about love relationships, I have seen that usually in couples, what happens is they do not take the personal responsibility of self-work or self-healing, and they throw that, like, you know, that stuff on each other. Oh, you are like this, you are like this, which I call it as a blame game. At times it happens that in spite of the relationship being beautiful, but the baggage that they bring on into a relationship of their programs, their woundings, their traumas that they have gone through is all being reflected, like, you know, that messes up the relationship. So what I do as a relationship coach, I help couples as well to look into their personal traumas, wounding patterns, take personal responsibility to work on their themselves and heal themselves first, and how they can, from that place of awareness, they can work on the relationship that they have. They can experience love, intimacy, and yet I feel the highest purpose of the relationship is growing, is self-awareness. So how you can use this relationship for its higher purpose, except for experiencing love, intimacy, and growing together as a couple and as an individual as well. So this is what I do.
That's lovely. Okay. So I definitely want to hear about your life story, how you got to where you are today. But before you do that, I just have to say, as you were speaking, I could almost smell ayahuasca. It's like, I was listening to you, and for whatever reason, there was a moment where I could almost smell it. It was like,
oh my
right
God,
there.
Look at you. Right, you are there. Another intuitive healer out
wild.
There.
That was wild. That was a really, really cool experience, cool moment. Mm-hmm. So ayahuasca is with you, must be with you if that's the case.
Yeah.
Let's hear your life story. I mean, if you want to talk about ayahuasca, you can always do that as well.
Oh, I would love to. I would love
yes.
to.
How about you decide? Pick one that you want to start with.
So let's start with ayahuasca, like, you know, the one that you picked so intuitively.
Let's do it.
So yeah, ayahuasca has been playing a lot of role in my life. I would definitely say that. And I want to share this story because I told you about this friend of mine, Kelte Lin, who did this art. So I met this girl at the ayahuasca ceremony. Would you believe that?
I do believe that. That's where I met her. So I do believe that.
Yeah. And she's such a wonderful, amazing woman out there. And I met her at the Aya ceremony, and she told about her artwork. I was at the beginning of writing my book. I had not even started, I guess, if I remember. But I knew something in myself moved, and I just asked her, how would you feel if you do a book cover for me? And she was like, oh my God, that is really exciting. I would surely, surely do that. Like, you know, and this is how actually through Mother Aya, I would say this book came through. And this is something really amazing because, like, you know, when I got my first copy, I told you that I went to see my friend Kelte at London City, and I was coming back from the Aya ceremony. And something in myself said, okay, let's go see her first. And there the book was, and it was like amazing. So it has been a wonderful experience with ayahuasca as well. It has been very close to my heart. And of course, the first physical copy I dedicated to Mother Aya, because this is where the project of my book came through as a whole. Like, you know, and Kelte, I know she's an amazing woman, and she's so intuitively blessed as well, a blessed artist. She mm-hmm. channels her art, I would say, and she has channeled this art on my book cover. So mm-hmm. that is amazing as well.
It's absolutely amazing. Well, I want to hear more about your relationship with Aya, you know, and you can go anywhere you'd like with that. Mm-hmm. But quickly, I'd love to know, how has it impacted your life, I guess yourself, mm-hmm. and what has that journey looked like? Well, maybe tell us about some of your journeys with ayahuasca.
I had some amazing, amazing journeys, and Aya always, it is not that I go to Aya ceremonies, but there is a calling that comes from Aya when mm-hmm. something is about to come, like, you know. And in the last ceremony that we did, you would be amazed to know that we did the ceremony as a family with my mm-hmm. husband and my two kids.
Oh, wow. That is yes. amazing. Really? Yes. That's yes. incredible. How old are your kids?
My son is 7 and my daughter is 5.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, you have to tell us about this experience. That is amazing.
Yeah, we always believe that this is something that is available in nature, the plant medicine that helps us connect with the deepest aspects of our soul, that connects with our soul. And the life that we are living, that we believe in, we should not have a split between what you believe and what you show it to the outside world or what you present to your children. So when my kids, as I had small kids, it was always me going to the Aya alone, or my husband, he's also a true believer. Either he chooses to go into the ceremony. So we had never been able to go together as a couple and do our ceremonies. And because we had kids and one of us has to watch over the kids. So mm-hmm. this time we thought, okay, why not also introduce our kids into this sacred space, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is what we are. And it would be amazing if our kids are introduced to this at an early age. They would be always be connected to the spirit, and they do not have to go around the world to get back to their self. You know? So how about let's do that? And we could do that as a family. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful night.
Beautiful. It was a beautiful night. Do you want to share about the night? Like, what was it like?
So, the ceremony usually begins at midnight. So the kids were put to bed before that, of course. And just we woke up the kids when we had to take the medicine. And we said, this is a special tea that would help you get good dreams. Mm-hmm. So they just gulped it down. So kids usually do not have trauma that we adults have, right? Right. They do not have that wounding and trauma yet. So they just, under the medicine, they just sleep peacefully. They have beautiful dreams and that's it. So they do not purge, or they do not have any other thing that would cause any. It is just the adults that have stored up traumas and patterns mm-hmm. and their shadow self that, and a lot of ego, right? The Aya brings up on face. So kids do not have that. So they had a very peaceful, beautiful night. We were around them to watch over. And yeah, it went wonderful.
That's fascinating. I know that in a lot of different parts of the world, like Ecuador, for example, mm-hmm. it is pretty commonplace for children in yes. the community to participate. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's very interesting that you brought this up, that children don't purge, first of all. They don't have any of the other experiences. It's a fairly peaceful evening.
Yeah.
Whereas for us adults, you know, we purge, we go through all sorts of experiences. And that is just mind-blowing that, you know, between the time that we are children and our adulthood, that there's so much that ends up getting stored, or so much that we end up carrying. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. That is just mind-blowing. I didn't know that kids didn't purge. I didn't know that they didn't have any of those.
You know, they just sleep peacefully and they just have beautiful visuals in their dreams. That's it. And nothing else. And it heals, like, you know, basically ayahuasca itself is healing. It heals you at an energetic level, your physical body. It causes a physical detox. So it is a healing medicine, I feel. And I feel there are many people who have fears around ayahuasca because they yet have not experienced it, or it has brought them up, like, you know, their shadows up for them. So they are afraid of experiencing Aya again and, like, you know, ayahuasca mm-hmm. itself. But I feel that Aya is the medicine, because I have done so many ceremonies with Aya. I believe that it doesn't give you what you desire. It gives you what is needed for you, right? Mm-hmm. So, and Aya knows what do you need. You do not know what you need, right?
That is exactly right. Aya definitely knows what you need.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that also goes right back to what you were saying earlier about us attracting not what we desire, but what we are. And so same applies with plant medicine.
Yes.
You get what you are, not what you're
exactly
you maybe think you're going to get.
Absolutely.
It's a really great experience once you get to the point where you start to look at all of the experiences that you have with plant medicine and all of the lessons that you're learning. Mm-hmm. As a reflection of what you are, who you are in that moment, rather than, I guess I'll give you an example with my journey, for example, with mushrooms, you know, there's been a lot of really intense experiences, a lot of intense moments and a lot of visuals. And for a very long time, I was trying to understand it and trying to analyze it, just trying to figure out, you know, what does this mean and what am I supposed to do with this? And then at some point, I realized everything that I'm experiencing is quite literally a reflection of me. Mm-hmm. What I'm experiencing is me. This is what I am. Mm-hmm. And so all the information that I am processing, absorbing, the way I absorb it with these plants, what they're telling me is the story of myself.
Yes.
That's the story they're telling. And so that's a really beautiful thing once you get to that point, because then everything becomes sort of like a lesson that's being offered to you.
Absolutely. And I have seen people doing ayahuasca really frequently and doing ceremonies after ceremonies. But I also believe that after a ceremony, the Aya energy or Mother Aya helps you look into those aspects of yourself that you had not been looking at. It helps you bring up the stuff that had been buried deep into yourself. So basically, after each Aya ceremony, one should take time to work on yourself, to integrate those healings, to heal those aspects about you, and then integrate that in your life to act on those healings and not to act out of your old patterns. Aya itself cannot cause a transformation, but you need that integration. It is going to show you what you are. You need to integrate on. It will show you that, see, this is how you do not feel worthy. But ultimately, to feel worthy is your job. Aya cannot make you feel worthy. Do you get what I mean? So actually, it is the shaman that holds the ceremony always tells this. It will show you where the healing is required, but the healing is your job. Like, you know, you need to go back home and fix yourself and then come back.
Yes, that is absolutely beautiful. Wow. Okay. It will show you.
Wow, wonderful conversations flowing.
It's beautiful. I have to sit with what you're sharing. It's beautiful. You're making me miss Aya. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's lovely.
Yes.
That is lovely. So I guess now you can tell us the story of your life in a nutshell. Go for it.
Yes, for me, I had been born and brought up in India. And half of my life, I had addressed myself as Dr. Falak Sheikh because I had master degree in homeopathy. I was MD in homeopathy. Back there in India, I was practicing as a doctor of homeopathy. I was a lecturer in a college teaching medical students and integrating various healing modalities into my practice to help my patients and my clients to heal. And only after I moved to Canada in 2018 that my life took another turn, where I was no longer a doctor, because in Canada, homeopaths are not considered as doctors. So the whole ego identification of being a doctor was lost, I can say. And that gave me an opportunity to actually look within myself and accept myself as being a healer. And I realized that addressing myself as a healer, as a holistic energy healer or just an energy healer, was very scary because I was afraid. I was afraid to identify myself as a healer. And that took me some inner work to see why was I was so afraid. And that brought me to a vision of one of my past lives where I was killed for being a healer. What we call it as, like, you know, suffering from a witch's wound.
Mm-hmm.
Many women suffer from that, where they are afraid to be seen, to accept their gifts, their intuitive psychic abilities because of this wounding.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason that I was so scared of accepting myself as a healer. And I was half of my life hiding behind that doctor title, because even though I had been practicing theta healing, Reiki, and other healing modalities, I wouldn't say that I am a healer. I would always say I'm a doctor. And then if somebody asks more about it, then I would say, oh, I integrate various healing modalities and everything. But only when I healed of myself of that witch's wound, where I was so scared of being killed for my truth, for who I am, only then I could accept myself as a healer and put out myself as a healer. And this is where my journey of being a spiritual entrepreneur, or, like, you know, establishing my coaching business, I had this guidance of writing a book. Only then I could act on my guidance of writing a book, like, you know, that I truly wanted to do. And only when that I was completely disidentified from my ego self, then only I could discover my truest being of who I am. So mm-hmm. being a healer, being an author, this came to me only later after I moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pursued my desire of writing a book. I dive deep into this. I just started. It took me a year to finish my book, but it was hell of a journey, I can say that. So this is where I am. So I do not address myself as doctor anymore, but though still I am a doctor of homeopathy.
Yeah. Now you address yourself as intuitive healer.
Yes. And I'm not afraid of it now.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now that you've said that, what's something else that you're not afraid of anymore that you used to be afraid of before this sort of spiritual journey took hold in your life?
I believe it was always like, oh, what would happen next? You always keep thinking, oh, what are you going to do? How is your career going to be? You are no longer this. I was very, like, you know, where you feel that you have to do something to make things happen. And suddenly with this experience, I realize I'm being led. I'm more surrendered. I do not feel scared in, okay, what I'm going to do. I know that right things would come in my life at the right moment, right opportunities, right people. I would be at the right place at the right time, because what is meant to be in my life is meant to be. Nothing can mm-hmm. take away that from my life. As our episode today, what is meant to be is meant
yeah,
to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm no longer scared if things are not working out for me. I'm no longer scared when relationships die out. I'm no longer scared of conflicts, because I know something greater, something higher is lying there out for me, which I cannot see in this moment. But it is there for my highest good, and it is going to come to me soon. Because when I moved to Canada, to be honest, the first 6 months I was regretting, why did I come here?
Mm.
I was established in my career. Why did I leave my career and come here? But it was a guidance that we followed, and we mm-hmm. Acted on it. But, like, you know, there are times when you start doubting yourself, when you start kind of, oh, was it a right decision? But I believe now it has become so strong in me that even when things go wrong, I know it is for my highest good. Though I mm-hmm. cannot see it, but I have that deep, deep trust built in me that whatever happens is for the highest good of you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
It has a purpose.
Yeah, it does. Beautiful. I feel like this has been lovely. I don't know if you've noticed. I noticed this. At the beginning of this conversation, my tone was different. After the conversation, now my tone is different.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's because often these conversations are just beautiful. They just evoke gratitude, and they bring us back into our heart space.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's really lovely. And that's reflected in my tone. For me, it's always reflected in my tone.
Yeah.
One of the things is my tone changes. So very, very appreciative of that. Before we wrap this episode up, I would love for you to share anything you want to share, any final thoughts, anything that you want to give to the audience.
I would like to say all those who are hearing, my purpose in this life is to serve people who have been looking out for help, for experiencing love in their life, for understanding their traumas, their woundings, and are ready and open to work on that. To all those listeners who are listening, I am here for you to help you, and I offer a free healing session, an hour of a healing session to you. If you want to work on any aspect of your life, especially relationships, if you want to understand yourself at a deeper level, I'm here to help you and hold space for you. So you can go onto my website, www.falakshikh.com, book an appointment with me, or you can mail me on falakshikh@gmail.com, shaikh@gmail.com. Maybe Gabriela can put the information.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I will.
And you can mail me and have an appointment with me. I would be really, really happy to serve you, because you are helping me live my life purpose. So definitely I would be thankful if you reach out to me as well.
That's lovely. Lovely. That was so beautifully said, especially that last part. Because we are all helping each other.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Falak. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was sheer pleasure, and the conversations flowed beautifully, taking me closer to my spirit.
Yes, that's lovely. And you brought ayahuasca to the table, which is always really nice. That's always really nice.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, enjoy your weekend, and maybe we'll see you again on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And that was another episode with Falak Shaikh. Wasn't that lovely? I'm so grateful. I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot calmer than I did before the conversation. So I'm very grateful. Thank you, Falak, if you are listening. Shout out to Kelte, of course, for connecting us. And, you know, for all the work that you've done with the book. Shout out to the Soulmate Mantra for those of you out there who are looking for a perspective on the kinds of questions that maybe you can ask yourself or start asking yourself in order to start doing the work that would then reflect in the kinds of relationships that you attract to yourself. Or if maybe you're just looking to read about somebody else's experience and the kinds of lessons that they've learned, in this case, Falak. What did she learn from her experiences? What is she sharing that she wants to share with you? I think even if you're not looking, and this applies to me as well, even if you're not looking for some sort of, you know, wisdom, even if you're not seeking wisdom, there's beauty. There's a ton of beauty in just observing, getting to witness somebody else's growth, somebody else's life, and the unfolding of someone else's fulfillment and joy and how they got there. So check out the Soulmate Mantra. Check out Falak, of course. Get that free healing session. I mean, that sounds lovely to me. I might even do it. I'm very tempted. If I wasn't entering a more introspective season in my life currently, I would definitely take her up on the offer. But for those of you who are maybe not, I say go for it. Get that free healing session. Get to know Falak yourselves. And maybe having listened to this episode and connecting with her, it will turn out that it was exactly right for you. It was meant to be. Anyway, longest outro ever. Thank you for tuning in as always. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. Do share, leave a review, do all that stuff, and come back for the next episode. Thanks again.